Kia Carens. 7 flexible seats, 7 years warranty. The new Kia Carens, coming soon.
Hello there and welcome. It's Miriam here again for John. Later in the programme, we're going to be talking to Colleen Nolan, actually, about her sister Bernie. Some of you may be aware her sister is not very well at all. And I just read her autobiography, which was released yesterday, and it's a very moving read. So Colleen's going to join us later. First, though, we've something very, very special. You've probably seen all the adverts on buses, on the billboards, they're everywhere, because the new Great Gatsby film is about to be released. If you don't know about it already, well, you will know next week.
New York, 1922. The tempo of the city had changed sharply. The buildings were higher. The parties were bigger. The morals were looser and the liquor was cheaper. The restlessness approached hysteria.
Shall we?
Who is this Gatsby?
Do you know him?
War hero.
Mr. Gatsby doesn't exist.
Gatsby? What Gatsby?
I beg your pardon. Mr. Gatsby would like to speak to you.
Well, to get us in the Great Gatsby fever mood, I'm joined in the studio by author Kathy Kelly. You're going to give me the Bluffer's Guide in a moment.
Yes,
because
exactly. So
you love
pretend
it.
You have read it. Don't worry.
Brilliant. But look, we have here in studio the Cotton Club Quartet. That is Eamon Moran on guitar, Tom Hart on guitar, Matty Roberts on clarinet, Tom Millett on double bass. And without further ado, lads, take it away. Actually beautiful. Kathy Kelly, you were getting up there dancing.
I was nearly going to get up there and dance. That's so beautiful. I love the music of that period, and I love jazz as well, going slightly further on, but that's just fabulous. You can see at the time in the 20s that the flapper was in, And the flapper was this wonderfully modern young girl. Women had got the vote in 1920s in America, and they started wearing these shorter skirts. The beginning of the 20s, the skirts were up at the ankles. Sort of by the 1929, they were showing knees, which was disgraceful. And they sometimes rouged their knees, and they had to flatten their bosoms for those dresses. So, yeah, we'll move on from that.
But look, it's funny, because even like teenagers I was talking to last night all love The Great Gatsby. For people who don't know the story, synopsize it for us. What's it about?
Okay, synopsize it. There's this lovely, nice, decent man called Nick Carraway, and he goes to live on a place in Long Island that Scott Fitzgerald basically invents, which is this sort of the nouveau riche part of Long Island, and then there's the old money part. And he's beside this amazing, fabulous house owned by this enigmatic Jay Gatsby, and everyone wants to go to his parties, and it's all decadent and fabulous and wonderful. And of course, these are the Prohibition years when, you know, people weren't allowed, there was no drink, so there was twice as much drink, and Gatsby has made all his money out of bootlegging. And at the same time, Nick meets his cousin Daisy Buchanan, who is this beautiful, beautiful creature. And I'm having, what's her name, played by what Williams in the film? I'm having a little mental breakdown here. What's the name of that woman? Michelle Williams in the film, I think. And Daisy Buchanan basically years ago had a fling with Gatsby. And it's about, the story is really, she's married now to a bit of a brute of a man who's having an affair. And it's about the bringing together of this amazing Daisy, who stands for everything that we think is wonderful, and the marvellous, enigmatic Gatsby, who's played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and it looks fabulous.
And what is he like? Not DiCaprio, Jay Gatsby. Like, what kind of a character? Is he meant to be nice or not nice?
Well, he's meant to be wonderful and very charming. He calls everyone old sport, and he said he was, you know, he went to Oxford, he was in the war. It's set in 1922. It was written between 23 and 24. And like a lot of Fitzgerald books, you can always throw this in your Bluffer's Guide, he wrote a lot about these periods, and they're quite, he takes a lot out of his own life as well and puts it in. All of his novels seem to deal with these eras of decadence and alcohol and wildness, with a certain amount of psychiatric illnesses. And a lot of it is taken from his own life, with his wife Zelda. He apparently used to steal things. She was also a writer, and he used to steal things out of her notebooks. And she said, "Plagiarism begins at home," which, you know, was fabulous. So they had a anyway. We see lovely Gatsby, and he seems marvellous and fabulous and enigmatic, but he has a secret, really, and that's what the novel is about. I can't give it... That's what the film is about. We can't give it all away, or people won't want to go.
It's kind of sad. I mean, I know everyone says it is pretty autobiographical for Fitzgerald, but, like, he was racing to make money, pretending they weren't someone they want, because he just wanted to buy the love of this woman they were in love with.
Absolutely. Same thing with Fitzgerald, because he met Zelda years before. She was a friend with Tallulah Bankhead, who, of course, as we know, was this very interesting bisexual Hollywood star, and was very unusual at the time. And Fitzgerald wanted to make money, so he went off and he wrote this book, and suddenly he had a bit of money, and he went and he said, "Zelda, will you marry me?" And she said yes, and they go to New York, and it moves on from there. But they made it as fast as they spent it as fast as they made it. So he's endlessly writing short stories, but he writes about this world of decadence, living life to the full after the war. And it was a period of great prosperity in America as well. So it's this craziness. But I think, interestingly, a lot of the music, and I know that the boys here, and Tom particularly, will talk about this, you know, comes from the Deep South and the African-American music. And they were not having such a good time. There was a great migration, something like 200,000 people from the Deep South came up to New York during these years. And they were poor. And there were a lot of, you know, I'm sure as well, Irish immigrants to New York. So there was a lot of poverty. So this is this lovely little specialised group of people who were making lots of money, probably like the Celtic Tiger.
Tom, on that music point that Kathy made, you love it as well, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I read it probably in my teens, first of all. It's a while ago now. The thing is, because, I mean, Gatsby is probably credited with even coining the phrase Jazz Age. That Tales from the Jazz Age was a collection of stories. But probably a lot of what we think of now as jazz is as it's gone on over a century or more. But it's really just coming together at that time. You probably around that time you have, and probably listen to back to a lot of that. Even referred to in the book is he does refer to the term society, and there's even a reference to oboes and things, which we don't generally think in terms of jazz bands. So Paul Whiteman's music is referenced in it, but that little waltz, isn't it? What does they call it? That
3 o'clock in the morning.
Neat, sad little waltz. It was just beautiful, again, and drifting out the open door. And you've got it, one. And it's just using a cultural reference or a popular music reference. I don't think, you know, somebody reading Gatsby now isn't going to necessarily pick up on it at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I love that tune. They don't know it from
Adam. It's interesting, though, Tom, as well, and Cathy, the people reading it now, even, say, a younger generation, maybe a lot of the themes remain, which is why it's popular. It's like class, snobbery, someone reinventing themselves, like a Don Draper, even like a Christy Mahon. And, in fact, maybe it's ultimately just a sad love story.
I think it is a bit sad in lots of ways to reinvent yourself for love, and maybe if that doesn't quite work out, there's nothing left, because I think at the end, certainly Nick Carraway goes back home. He goes back west. He said, "I don't want to live in this world because it's ultimately fake." And I have to say, just, you know, going back into it briefly yesterday, I did think of that Celtic Tiger world, and there is that. You know, we have a period of great prosperity followed by the Great Depression, which we are which we are going through now. It's very sad. But it is, it's a lovely little, it's a wonderful time they create. And yet, if you look deeply into it, it is sad. But yet, how very beautiful, with the clothes, the amazing architecture of the time, the music. Very, very powerful and glamorous. And fashion designers have referenced that for years.
I love the clothes. Wouldn't it be great if we were sitting here now dressed like this instead of in black skinny jeans? We'd all be gorgeous.
And Coco Chanel actually started off one of these looks. It was the garçon, to look like a sort of a little boy with a short haircut.
Cool.
And the no bosoms and your long dress down to your knees.
Do you think it's still relevant for today?
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely, a novel like this is relevant. It's about who you are, trying to find out who you basically are and what's real and what's fake. And Fitzgerald always wrote about that. And he talked about, you know, he ended up going to Hollywood. He and Zelda had sort of split up. She was in a sanitarium. He talked about, he descended, sadly, into alcoholism. Mm. But he talks about what's real. You know, your 30s are about love and friends, and your 40s are about, because he died in his 40s, finding out that none of this really matters. It's terribly sad in that way.
There's been loads of focus recently on Zelda and her importance, lots written in the run-up to the film. I think I really like her, but why was she so interesting for him? Tell me about her.
Because I think she, very like Daisy, I mean, Daisy is this beautiful high society lady from a much more moneyed background.
Kerry Mulligan is playing her.
Kerry Mulligan. I have her and Michelle Williams. I have a little mental block, but between those two, and very much the same as with Fitzgerald. So he had to try and woo Zelda because he didn't really come from money, and he too had. I think he went to. Did he go to Yale? Where did he go to? Similar sort of thing, but Zelda was a writer herself, and she said. Like, basically, Fitzgerald used to take things out of her diaries. There's a wonderful bit in it where they have, in The Great Gatsby, where they have this little girl who, in the 74 film, was played by Patsy Kensett. It was her first screen role. I don't know who plays her in this. She was a little blonde poppet. But when they have a baby, Zelda writes, you know, a baby girl, I hope that she grows up to be, you know, lovely, but stupid, so she doesn't understand life and life can't hurt her. And he completely steals that and puts it in this book where Daisy Buchanan says it. So there's a new biography out of Zelda now, and I quite like to read it. Very interesting woman. Wrote a lot of journalism and one novel. And
I think, sadly, she ended up in a psychiatric hospital.
She was bipolar, which I think at the time the diagnosis, I mean, I can't imagine that the medication we have today. So you would just basically be put into a sanitarium, and she died, I think, in 1946, where the one she was in went on fire. It's terribly tragic. But it also makes me think of this other amazing African-American woman writer called Zora Neale Hurston, who wrote about the same period. She wrote about it in the 30s, one of the most influential books, Time says, one of the top most influential books, Their Eyes Were Watching God. And it's written from the point of view of a black woman, or three black women, during the same period. Interesting. Very, very different story, obviously.
We mentioned the fashion earlier, how we both love it. Do you think it will start a bit of a revival for people wanting to dress like that?
Oh, I'd say it will. I'm quite sure now that the catwalks, which of course I watch avidly, as you can see from my outfit here, will be, you know, come autumn, winter, it'll be full of Gatsby-esque. It'll be wonderful. I can imagine the haircuts. It's very hard to pull off that very short haircut, though, girls. I'm just telling you now. I did it myself once when a perm went wrong, and it's a tough one to follow up.
We're going to get another piece of music live here, but is there a passage, I think, Kathy, you have, you could read?
There's a wonderful passage here, okay, where Nick, who narrates the whole book, he has started to go out with a friend of Daisy's, who is this lady golfer, and she starts to explain how Daisy met Gatsby. Well, about 6 years ago, she heard the name Gatsby for the first time. So they're talking about Daisy hearing about it. It was when I asked you, do you remember if you knew Gatsby? After you'd gone home, she came into my room and woke me up and said, what's Gatsby? And when I described him, I was half asleep, she said in the strangest voice that it must be the man she used to know. It wasn't until then that I connected this Gatsby with the officer in her white car those years ago. When Jordan Baker had finished telling all this, we'd left the plaza for half an hour and were driving in a Victoria through Central Park. The sun had gone down behind the tall apartments of the movie stars in the West 50s, and the clear voices of girls, already gathered like crickets on the grass, rose through the hot twilight.
Take it away, guys, the Sheikh of Araby. It feels like it should be in the evening time, so we should all be dancing. But listen, thanks a million for coming in today. That was beautiful. Beautiful clarinet as well. Thanks to you, Kathy. Of course, the film's out next Wednesday. And if any of you have any memories of Gatsby, anything you want to talk about the book, you can text us on 51551. We're going to be talking to Colleen Nolan after this break. John at RTE.